What's happening? Welcome to the Smooth Jazz Podcast. I am your host, Mike Day. And today we have a special guest. We got my homeboy, QB Wells. Man, say what's up to the people, QB.
Man, what's up, family? What's up, people?
Oh, man. So this will be the first Smooth Jazz episode that we actually have a guest. We're actually face-to-face. We're over in Manchin on the west side of Nattown. It's 317 all day, every day. You know what I'm talking about? But, man, we're going to get to this damn spot and stuff, man. So, QB, let me ask you a question, bro. Before we get into what we're going to talk about, when did you fall in love with boxing?
And I first fell in love with boxing, watching it with my father. He was a Larry Holmes fan. And one of the first fights I saw was Larry Holmes I was just younger, so that's part of what we would do. Yeah. We would watch the boxing. And then part of one of the saddest moments when I knew I really loved it is when Larry Holmes got beat up.
You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson? What are you talking about? Sphinx fight?
By Sphinx.
Yeah.
He got beat up. My dad almost about to cry that day.
Eastern Assassin. That dude had one of the best jabs that I ever seen. He would fling that bad boy. Larry Holmes also had like a weird recuperative power where my man was like, I seen him get hit by Ernie Shavers, one of the biggest right hands I've ever seen. Yo, dude was out on his feet, got back up, and stopped Shavers late in the fight.
Come on. He was mean.
Yeah, that dude had a whole different vibe about him, man. So, yeah, Larry Holmes is the truth, man. Yeah, you remember that video of Larry Holmes? He got into it with Trevor Burby? You never seen that video? Oh, man, you got to pull it up on YouTube, bro. So Larry Holmes is, like, talking, right? And next thing you know, Trevor Burby accuses him of, like, sleeping with his wife or some shit like that. The shit on YouTube, man. So next thing you know, they get into it, and the next thing you see Larry Holmes, like, there's a cop car. Larry Holmes, give him a sweatsuit to make the sound squishy. Larry Holmes jumps up on the cop and on the car, jumps off the car and like hits Trevor Burbick with an elbow in front of the police.
No.
Man, you gotta pull that shit up. All you seen him go was like fall on the ground. And then people was looking at Larry Holmes because Trevor Bird was talking mad shit. He was like, you brought Jimmy the hook
from
the
top of
the so bring my wife. So that was some wild
was
shit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, Trevor Bird, I think they cut his head off over in Jamaica.
They did. And that's how he died.
Yeah, that's some wild shit. But yeah, so that's, every time I think of Larry Holmes, I think of three names. I think of Larry Holmes being Ken Norton. And like, I think it was like 1978 or something like that. Mm-hmm. For the championship. I think about him, like, you know, whooping the shit out of Larry Coon when he drove like Cooney.
Yeah, it was Cooney. Cooney was the truth.
Yeah, that was the fight boy. Because he had Ken Norton with the uppercut from hell.
Remember that heavy hands.
And then, you know, I think about him getting that jump off the car on Trevor Burbick and him, you know, getting wiped up by Mike Tyson. Sphinx, too, you know, because he did the whole thing of Rocky Mountain.
He got wiped up by Mike Tyson?
Yeah, Mike, they fought. Yeah, Marvin Holmes came back.
Okay, because
he came back, and that's why they was like Tupac was like looking flat and shit like Larry Holmes. That's why he was talking about. They came back. Now we can talk about it now. If we go down to the annals, in my opinion, heavyweight history, Larry Holmes was a much better heavyweight than Mike Tyson. But he fought, you know, Mike Tyson in his prime. Larry Holmes was like 38 or 40 or something like that.
I remember when Mike Tyson was like the reason. One of the reasons I love Mike because I want to say Mike went. Where after Sphinx beat Larry Holmes, he was like, man, I'm going to go beat him for you. I'm going to go whoop him for you. You know what I'm saying?
I watched that. He told Muhammad Ali that because, you know, Larry Holmes, he was with Muhammad Ali's ass. He told.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he told.
Story switched up.
So, you know, Mike wiped all of them. But, yeah, man, so Larry Holmes. So, for me, I got into boxing. My uncle was a boxing trainer. So, he's in the New Jersey State Hall of Fame, Boxing Hall of Fame, famous John Davenport. So he trained like a young Lennox Lewis when he was over in England and did some other stuff. He had some really good guys in the gym. I don't know if you remember a guy named Carl Shute Williams. He fought Mike Tyson back in the day. Mike get that ass out of there. Uncle trained him. So he did a lot of stuff in New Jersey, man. So he's in New Jersey State House. So I always like looked up to him. I didn't see him often because he was always on the move. And then was like watching Roy Jones and Pernell Whitaker and all them guys on HBO Sports, man. watching them alert. I mean, Roy Jones had the tail. That's my favorite boxer.
Roy Jones?
Yeah, Roy Jones is my favorite boxer.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how I guess how I got into boxing. So that's just a little bit down a memory lane, man, of how I got into boxing, man. So before we get into this, we're gonna talk about the little Kovalev and the Yardy fight. Before we that, we're gonna do like a review of the Mo Hooker Jose Ramirez fight, man. And I talked about this on a previous episode of Smooth Jack Podcast. And I said Ramirez will win because I don't think Hooker can make 140. His previous fight, he almost passed out at the weigh-in because he was struggling to make weight. It's a hell of a fight, kid, the QB, man. So tell the people, man, just kind of give your views and opinions of that fight, man. You had the zone. I cut my zone. Christian off.
It was a good fight, man. They went in from the jump where they both was fighting with. That fight wasn't going to go 12 rounds. You know what I'm saying? They was fighting where somebody was going to get knocked out. And they did that from the beginning. I thought it was going to be Ramirez, though. You know what I'm saying? I thought Ramirez was going to be the one who got knocked out. But he showed me a real champion. You know what I'm saying? And it went so quick because Hooker was winning for a second, and it switched. And Ramirez caught him. And he jumped on him. You know what I'm saying? And he jumped on him so quick that it was over with like that, man. He was out on his feet. And I want to say it was premature stoppage, but it wasn't.
Well, Hooker after the fight said, thank you, told the ref, thanks for stopping the fight. Because, you know, you got to think, previous to that, two boxers had died right after, you know, after fight. So, you know, I mean, for me, you know, I've seen some kind of thing that may be a little premature, but I always err on the side of caution. I'd rather a guy be like, all right, man, I lost my belt, I lost this, and come back to fight another day. And, you know, he fought like a warrior and took more punishment and something happens to him, man. So I always think a guy like Gerald McCullum, even though he had a brain issue before he came in fight. You never seen Gerald McCullum?
Uh-huh.
He should YouTube his fight. That dude knocked out Julian Jackson with some hard. Gerald McCullum's a good fighter, big, strong. One guy at 160, so he fought. He moved up to 168. He fought Nigel Benn. You know Nigel Benn.
Uh-huh.
So he fought Nigel Benn. But Gerald McCullum, I think they said he had some issues, some health issues before the fight, and they had a hell of a fight, man. And he's like never been the same. That was like 1993.
Come on.
That's what he follows me on Twitter. Well, I think his sister or someone has his Twitter account.
Boxing is dangerous.
Yeah, man. So this is a dangerous sport. But back to what I was saying. So back to what we were talking about before we got on air, man. So. We talked about the guys in 140. So now, Richard Progress, he pulled out of the World Boxing Super Series fight. I think he wasn't getting his money.
Right.
So I know he sued them. So he's supposed to fight Josh Taylor. And I'll say they said it might be back on. So who do you think is the best guy at 140?
I think Regis is the best at 140.
Why do you think that, though?
Because he got power. He's versatile. He can switch up with any of them styles, and nobody – he can take a punch. You know what I'm saying? I want to see how much of a punch he can take, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I want to see him steal. Maybe Josh – I want to see him take some more punches.
Yeah, I'm not saying because for a while, like, he does all – he has that herky-jerky style, but he also was sitting back, man. He fought on ESPN for a Super Series. He was taking a lot of jabs, just eating a lot of punches, and he ended up getting the knockout. So his defense has improved his last few fights. But I would love to see the winner of Taylor and Progress fight Jose Ramirez. I mean, it'd be great. It'd be the second unified champion in 140. You know, Bud Crawford did it like a year and a half ago, something like that. And very rarely do you get unified champion, you know, undisputed unified champions that close in proximity. But that would be a great feat to see the best guys fight. And I love those Super Series and those type of things.
Super Series is the truth. Who do you think will win that between Ramirez and whoever that winner, Taylor? Regis fight.
I think that would be – I would probably go Regis. I think he has a little more twos in the toolbox. Ramirez is strong, but, you know, he was able to walk Mo Hooker down. You know, Mo Hooker had that super long pterodactyl-type reach. But I think Regis would get down with him, get gritty, go to that body. So it'd be a war. I just think that when it comes – I just think that Progress has a little more twos in the toolbox than Jose. But, you know, Ramirez showed me something because, you know, he went through a firefight, and I've seen him fight tall like you got. He fought Amir Amman. Now I watched that fight. Amir Amman was kind of trying. He's another guy with a big right hand, you know, long jab. But, you know, those guys, but Ramirez is willing to walk through that. But I don't think he could walk down Progress. The Progress hits hard with the left hand away. And it's a difference from a guy, from a tall, slender guy to a guy that's more compact. And probably those guys had those big right hands, but, you know, we just cannot get out with either hand. He's strong, so he might be physically more strong. Physically, he's strong.
Ramirez showed me he was a better boxer than I thought. And then he got a lot of heart. Mm-hmm. His heart is what he can, man. His heart was ridiculous in that moment, in the Hooker fight. I'd like to see him just because of his heart fighting. Yeah. Because that's what I think. Hooker was a better fighter. He ain't had a heart over Ramirez. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's one thing when a guy, I mean, they came out scrapping. It's one thing when a guy, if he's like, you're hitting that jab at him, and he's still trying to walk through and get the body shot. You have to really commit to that, you know, that left jab. And then some guys, the greats, can really hook off the jab. That's when you know you really got a guy that's special. He's able to hook off the jab. And then looking like that, and jab come, you're able to flip it over at the last minute to throw a hook. And then come follow with the right hand, play right hand down the fight. But yeah, that's, you know, I'm ready to see that those at 140. So we'll see if the Taylor and Progress goes. I'm all people getting their bread. So if he ain't getting his money, you know, it's prize fighting for a reason. Ain't nobody gonna sit back in there and fight for free.
Right. I do want to see that fight. I want to see him fight Taylor.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a fight, man. So before we get to this, man, so I guess we can kind of, you know, we were having a conversation off air, man. We were talking about Lomachenko. And he's fighting Luke Campbell on the 31st, so that's next Saturday, right?
Right.
So, and I had a discussion, and I didn't say he was the best, but I said he's one of the best. And you said his record, right? This was our
his record. In 13 and lost. It's undefeated fighters out there.
He lost in the second fight in the title fight.
Facts.
And he's beat, if you know, we were talking about pound for pound. I would say for pound for pound, the quality of opposition, because you got to think he beat Gary Russell. You know,
he beat Gary Russell,
my man from Cuba, who was like, who's a 2-1. He was a much bigger fighter than that, but he even said that. But, you know,
he was older.
Yeah, and he beat my man Nicholas Walters when Nicholas Walters was a monster.
Okay.
So, I mean, and he sit back and he beat man, in the last fight when he got knocked down, he still came back and won.
So it started with a P.
Oh, man. So this usually, I'm sorry, but I usually like to try to sit back and be on this. But actually, we decided to do this at the last second. So that's on me. But, you know, this is one of those things we're talking about. It's the love of boxing. We just decided to have, we went from having a conversation about work to have a pod, to doing a podcast. But yeah, so, you know, I think when it comes to like pure opposition fault, there's nobody has fought anybody as better competition in 13 fights than Lomachenko. The quality of opposition. You got to think, because a lot of most guys, they build themselves up because he had all the amateur fights. I give him,
he does.
Give you that. So he didn't like start off with like, you know, I'm fighting Bill Maher. He came in over at 28 ready to fight. So that's just one of the things I'm talking about. So why don't you think who do you think is your number one pound for pound? How about that?
Man, pound for pound, I like Errol Spence better.
Like Errol, you like Errol
Spence? Because the body of work, he might not have fought as many quality players or people, but he has his showmanship, man. I like that he hits harder. Outside of hitting hard, I just like his gameplay. He has way more fights, though. You know what I'm saying? And more knockouts as far as a percentage, I want to say, than Lomachenko as well. And I just like to watch him fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like to watch him fight a little better.
Errol Spence is a shoot.
Terrence Crawford, I want to stay and still put, again, because of the body of the work with the professional fights, not amateurs, because this is professional boxing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it. So Lomachenko beat Brickendow, beat Gary Russell. You see, these are quality. Sosa was pretty good. He beat up, of course, we talked about Walters.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked out Rocky Martinez. He was a former champ. So he's just like, I'm just going kind of going down there. And I'm not saying he's not number one. I'm just saying it's the fact that I did it. Linares. He beat Linares in his
land. He beat some great fighters, but he's lost.
Yeah, he lost. He lost in his second fight to a guy that was fouling him the whole time. And really, the fight should have been. It should have been. They should have stopped the fight with Salido. You fouled the whole time. And now they ran that rematch back. So he knocked a Salido to next week.
I think you hit those as facts. You know what I'm saying? But he caught him at a time he wasn't ready. He was overachieving. They don't put him in this tough fight. Somebody played his experience.
Yeah, of course, and I agree with that.
And none of them other fighters let that happen to them early in their career.
Yeah, but none of the other fighters had the pedigree. Because who was fighting somebody like Salido in the second fight? Nobody.
Exactly, because you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
You're supposed to take your time and matchmake and take your time and build it up.
But I guess I don't come from the – so who's your, like – so you a big Floyd Mayweather fan?
I am. I love Floyd Mayweather. Okay.
So are you influenced by the fact that he never lost? Like he's undefeated? Do you give him more credence? Meaning, do you believe his claim that he's the greatest of all time?
I don't believe the greatest, because I take boxing, especially as boxing as a sport, it's way more than boxing. And there's a lot more people who box it. But as far, if I want to put him as far as a prize fighter, I would say he is as far as, because he's made more money.
I'm talking about more money. I'm talking about this is the boxing, because I got a point that I'm getting. I'm driving the car, too. So let's just say that, I'll agree with Floyd, the best of the generation. Let's just say, do you rank Floyd higher than a guy like Pernell Whitaker or Sugar Ray Leonard?
No, I didn't like his fighting style better than either. I like both of their fighting styles.
So who do you think is the better fighter of those three?
Between Sugar Ray Leonard,
Pernell Whitaker, and Floyd. This, and I'm not saying fighting each other, I'm just saying this in general.
In general, I like Pernell's style.
Okay, so how many times did Pernell lose? Pernell got robbed a few times before. But that's the whole point. But I never thought that he wasn't one of the greatest of all time just because he had a few losses. Just like the same thing I'm talking about Lomachenko. Well, Lomachenko lost that one fight. I can't knock him down like that because I don't come from the Floyd Mayweather school. You got to be undefeated to be the man.
Facts. And part of what I like about some of these, especially these heavyweights, right? They're willing to lose. They're like, man, I'll go, and if I lose, and that's some real, because the real fighters, they'll take a risk, and you lose, you'll come back, you'll be better.
That's why I like Lomachenko. I love Terrence Crawford. I love Earl Smith. Hopefully one day we'll see Earl Smith and Terrence Crawford. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But that's my point. That's really the point I was driving this too.
Facts.
But, you know, we'll talk, we can say, I always talk about the Luke Campbell fight. Luke Campbell was like, he's an Olympian, he's from Great Britain. I think Lomachenko is just too much for him. Lomachenko has the best footwork in boxing. I ain't never seen a dude be able to pivot like he can at up close quarters. You got to think, and it's not like I can see this right now. Lomachenko, he's coming in. He's fighting you southpaw. He's going to pivot. He's going to make you miss, and he's going to make you pay. And he gets those guys get so gun-shy and not want to throw any punches because of his footwork. He's like a dancer.
I don't even know. I like to even see him face one of those young boys in there, and I'm not sure if he'll beat both of them. He'll beat them, but
fighting what weight class?
But Lopez.
Oh, you talking about Tim Fong? Lopez ain't ready yet. If you look at him.
Or Javante Davis. Neither one of them ready.
Javante, neither one of them ready for Lomachenko yet. Plus, Javante is at 130, and Lomachenko's 135. You know they. He says he wants to fight. I don't think he really wants that fight. I don't think Floyd wants that fight for him. And a weird thing, my aunt, she works in Baltimore. She works at a community school. Javante is one of her students at the school. Yeah, so she know him, right? That's Mr. Cindy Javante pull up with Bentley in Baltimore.
And your boy, I think he's scared to fight. I can't even see him, the fight that need to be made, and I don't know if they would. I can't see him beating Mikey Garcia.
Yeah,
I can't even see him beat Mikey Garcia.
I don't think Mikey can come back from 147, go back to 135. So that's a lot of
Dude need to meet him at 140. He's clear at 135. Go to 140.
I don't think Lomachenko clear enough to have 140. His frame, man, so that dude is small. One of my shoulders. That's how wide he is. The Lomachenko's body is like the width of my shoulder. Not shoulders, y'all. Shoulder. Right. That dude is small. He would not be able to come in at 140. I don't think 135 is his max. So he was fighting at like 122.
Facts.
You know, unless you on the, there's only one fighter that's went up in one weight championship.
That guy.
Yeah, and that's Manny Pacquiao. I ain't said I'm saying them. I'm just saying there's been rumors that Manny Pacquiao, was not the cleanest of fighters. I should say that. But he's never been popping any PEDs. So I'm just saying that very few times in boxing history, the guys go from that small of a weight to be able to, Manny Pacquiao was knocking guys out at 147. So, it just technically didn't happen. Now, I give him a little credence that Manny Pacquiao, not to sound racist, but he grew up in abject poverty in the Philippines. So you got to think, if he didn't grow up in the Philippines, he grew up in the States, I would say Manny Pacquiao would start his career probably 126, but this would be a bigger person. Because it's more food here. I'm not trying to be like a jerk, but think about it. Think about the economic things of the Philippines, right?
I'm there.
So that's why I say that. So I'm not saying Mike Dave's not saying anything racist. I'm just going on, you know, as far as the economic thing. So you might have a chance to start off a little bit bigger.
Right. But he started a strong weight or
something? No, I think it was like 22 or something like that. Somewhere below that. It might be flyweight. I don't know, one of them. But he started off really small. But back to our point, I think Lomachenko is definitely, Terrence Crawford probably be my number one guy because he cleaned out a division 140, got a belt of 147, won a belt of 135. You know, he wants to fight top quality. He's just at top rank. They don't have anybody in the fight at 147. That Amir Khan fight was a joke.
It was.
A joke. And Amir Khan do all that talking.
And he went and fought again real quick.
Yeah, made some more money. Yeah, made all that money, man. He fighting Billy Dead. Come on, man. Man, I seen Billy Dead lose a fight to Tevin Farmer at 130. And then you in at a championship fight. Now you going up 17, you know, you going up 3 weight classes to fight another guy at 147. So I don't know, man. But let's get back to this, man. So let's get to the fight that we want to talk about. So let's talk about this Lomachenko Anthony Yardy. I'm not Lomachenko. Oh my goodness. Kovalev Yardy fight, man. So give me your initial thoughts on this, man.
My initial thoughts, man, is I'm excited to see the fight. I just because it's a lot of intrigue. Kovalev, I know who he is. He's thorough. You know what I'm saying? He's on his way down, but he's a thorough fighter, man. He can fight.
Let me ask you this. I think his punching is kind of low. I thought Kovalev was done after he got knocked out back. He got knocked out against Andre Ward, and he got knocked out against Storm Alvarez.
Come on, man. Storm Alvarez, and I thought he was over.
Yeah, I thought he was done. He got a new trainer, Buddy McGirt, and he came back. And Alvarez didn't look like shit that fight.
But he could still hit.
Yeah, but Kovalev, the power ain't never going to leave. That's the last thing. I mean, reflexes to be able to pull the trigger on a big right hand may go.
He just don't have no tricks, though.
Yeah.
His IQ is like –
It's the same thing. But jab, big right hand. And then if he gets hit to the body, it's all right. But – so what do you think about Yardy? You told me you watched his last fight.
I just watched it. I see he got some kinks. It's some kinks that he got some weaknesses, but it's some things that he could do well too. Yeah. He still got a lot of power. He got an ugly left hook.
Yeah.
He can he go hard. He fights well on the inside. Yeah. When you're on the inside, he'll get him hooks. He does well on the inside. And his body work was good when he went to the body, but he didn't go to the body enough. You know what I'm saying? He was making some solid body, but he don't go to the body enough.
Yeah.
I can't see. Until I see it, because I haven't seen enough, I can't see him beating Kovalev.
Yeah.
I can't see him beating it, but that's why they box.
One thing I read about Yardy, which kind of tripped me out, is his trainer said they don't spar. And mm-hmm. I don't understand how you can box and not spar. Because my thing is, how are you going to be sharp? How are you going to have punch resistance? You need to be able to take a punch. And if you aren't being hit, I don't get it. You know, how are you going to sit back and, you know, some guys, they, you know, like Floyd said, I would never watch a guy, any footage on a guy. I was going to sit figuring out how to get in the ring. But you need to, but you're sparring against guys of similar styles. So mm-hmm. to me, how are you going to be right now? Maybe he has 19-0, 17 knockouts. Now nobody on his ledger before Kovalev is like any, like, you might write home about. But I don't see how that fight is going to go, man, in his favor. So I'm pretty. So what's your prediction?
Damn, my projection is Kovalev should probably like 7 or 8. Because if Yardy is to win that fight, he gonna have to get hit for real. When I saw him getting hit, he was getting hit by this other player that don't hit as hard as Kovalev. If Kovalev hit him with a couple of those and keep him on the outside, I say like he gone in 7. Yeah. Having said that, that's what I think. I want to see Yardy win.
Yeah.
I want to see him win. I think it would be a hell of a thing on how he is, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going
to. Yeah. And then the one interesting thing for me is I know before Canelo said he did express some interest in fighting Kovalev. So if he wins, then that's going to make, you know, because Canelo, he want to be like, I think he would be the first Mexican fighter to win belts in 4 weight classes. Because he won 154, won 160. He got that secondary belt at 168, which really doesn't count, but you know.
Yeah, he got it.
And then you win now. He can fight Kovalev at 175. He's putting himself in the pantheon of greatest Mexican fighters of all time.
Yeah, because he would have did something great by jumping out two weight classes. And Kovalev is not just, you know, because he's so much bigger than Alvarez. He's huge compared to Alvarez.
He was big compared to Andre Ward. You know, not really his size, but so not as far as like weight-wise. It's more like just the height.
Come on, he was big, and Andre Ward was the truth with that. So, I want to see Yardy win, but I see him getting knocked out by about seven rounds, eight. Because he's going to try to walk him down.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be his problem. He's going to try to fight fire with fire.
He's going to, in order for him to beat Kovalev, he's going to have to take some piece of leather, and he's going to have to try to take Kovalev deep into the fight. Because that first five rounds, Kovalev is going to be smoking. if you can get him into deep waters, then he might have a chance. But it's just like how much you're going to be able to take. If you look at the first Ward fight, he kept him in, kept him on the end of that jab, and that right hand, he hurt Ward. Yeah. And I think Ward was like, all right, I got to get into his body. By then now, and then as soon as they fought the rematch, you know, Ward, I think he had kind of figured out, like, all right, I'm going to walk this out. I'm going to knock him out, which is crazy because Virgil Hunter is predicted to knock out. Shout out to Virgil Hunter. He's the only dude I know out there training fighters with a Kango launch.
Come on! Virgil.
Virgil food in the mug. Speaking of trainers, man, I met Mike Sanford, AB's trainer, at the expo. Cool. You know, we did some stuff. They had a boxing tournament at the Black Expo. You know, Black Expo, so we did some live stuff there. So I was like, meet Mike Sanford. So cool cat, man. Also, they got some local boxing tournament, a place called Chincheck Promotions. Mm-hmm. They got some stuff, man. So I'm going to try to see if I can get that. And also, shout out to my dude, Willie Jake, man. He's like the heavyweight champ of Nut Town. Went to school with that cat, man. So we're going to try to get him on the show next, man. So shout out to him. So let me ask you this, man, as we start winding up, man, and we talked about a plethora of things. We like to talk about the past, future, and present of boxing, man. So I like to talk about some past fights, man. So, you know, you said your dad was a big Larry Holmes fan, but what's one of your favorite fights to go to? Not talking about me. I know you got your dad's one thing. What's one of your favorite fights? You would, if I was like, yo, man, let's start fighting. Let's throw the YouTube on and look at a fight. Which one would you want to look at?
Favorite fight, man, that I've seen.
What's one of you seen recently, like a classic fight? Like, oh.
Mm.
All right, I'll start off.
Yeah, you start them off.
All right, one of my favorite fights to rewatch is the first fight between Sugar Shane Mosley and Oscar De La Hoya. That was June 2000, I believe. And then, you know, Shane was coming up from 135. Shane at 135 was a monster. Coming up to fight Oscar De La Hoya. And that was a hell of a fight. Because, you know, everybody was thinking Oscar's going to get him, but Oscar's the man at 147. But, you know, Shane got him that last three rounds, man. Shane out hustling him, you know, threw some shots at Oscar and got the fight, man. So that's one of my favorite fights to watch, man. I used to watch Shane on HBO, and I didn't think he was going to be able to beat Oscar. But, man, we'll come back those last three rounds and win it, man. So that's one of my favorite fights to watch. That was a hell of a fight. Were you an Oscar De La Hoya fan?
I liked him. I won't say I was a fan. You know what I'm saying? I liked him. I enjoyed him, but I wouldn't say I was a fan.
I liked him, man. Oscar, you know, I had a love-hate relationship with Oscar. I think he didn't win the Pernell Whitaker fight, and I'm not saying that because Whitaker just passed away. I just think that Pernell won 7-5. But he got robbed against Trinidad.
That's what I was going to say.
He got robbed against Trinidad, you know. But Oscar, to me, I like Oscar. He fought everybody. There was nobody that Oscar did. I can say that Oscar did not fight. You know, you could probably like, well, he didn't fight Vernon Ford. But, you know, everybody, Oscar fought damn near everybody who was of his generation. He fought win, lose, or draw. Even knockout. You know, two of my favorite Oscar fights, he fought Fernando Vargas because they hated each other. And that was a damn fight. And they had that's when they had Floyd Mayweather Senior in the corner, man. He was like, baby, come on in with the jump. And then when he knocked out Ricardo Mayorga, man, that was funny too, man. Oscar had to do some laughs at the fight. He's like, I see blood, and I said, more.
I think of the fights, I like that Cotto Margarito. You know what I'm saying? This is the second one.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? After Cotto got banged up, you know what I'm saying? He was working with some fillers.
Oh, yeah.
And he went back, man. He went hard. You know, he beat his ass.
Then he stared at him.
Come on, he beat his ass. That was one that definitely stood out. I like your boy Bernard Hopkins against De La
Hoya. Oh, yeah, he was that body shot. He
get out of the box. I was boxing
him beautifully. Damn, Oscar, talk your shit. Yo, man, Oscar 160 was crazy. Oscar was flabby and shit. He couldn't handle 160 as far as the way his body looked, man. But yeah, that was a good fight, man. He fought Bernard. Bernard caught him that shot. He said, "Come on."
He was mad. You could see he was mad. Just
yeah, he caught him with the perfect shot. Also, another funny Bernard fight. Was when he fought Trinidad, man, he beat Trinidad's ass. Cool. But the lead up to the fight was hilarious. Remember when Hopkins threw the Puerto Rican flag down?
No.
So he threw the Puerto Rican flag down, and they chased him up out of there. And so my man had to like jump off this like scaffold or something like that to get to safety because the Puerto Ricans was gonna fuck him up. Yeah, man. So that was that. Shout out to B Hop. Also, I remember Roy Jones got into it on ESPN. Roy Jones said, "You need talking lessons."
Hey man, love Roy Jones.
You need talking lessons, Roy Jones.
I love Roy Jones.
Hey man, that's my favorite fight. Somebody asked me on Twitter, saying, "Trying to knock the Ravens with Roy Jones." I said, "Yeah, Roy Jones is the only second fighter in boxing history to win the heavyweight championship and go back to win the light heavyweight championship. He lost 20 pounds of muscle. So you got to think." He went up to fight John Ruiz. He lost all that weight. He beat Tarver in the first fight. Roy Jones was never the same.
He did.
Never the same, man. So, all right, QB, man. We're going to sit back and wrap this up, man. So, you got any closing thoughts on any hot takes for boxing, man?
Man, I just want to see this fight. Just want to see a good fight. I want to see some knockouts. I'm going to see it this weekend, man. That's about it. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. So no doubt, man. Appreciate all the support. You can follow the Group Smooth Jab Boxing Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Smooth Jab Pod. We are on Instagram, Smooth Jab Podcast. You know, if you have any, fight topics you want to discuss, hit us up, smoothjabpodcast@gmail.com. You know, just hit us up, man. We appreciate my homeboy QB being on here.
Thanks for having me on.
No doubt, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about these fights next time. So Mercury, next time we'll have maybe QB become a correspondent. He can call into the show, man, give some boxing hot takes. So yeah, Mike J, QB, Naptown all day. We out of here.
Peace.